This is Lesson 5 in our systematic study of the Book of 1 John, and is entitled, The New Body, The Two Families, and War with the World. Now, we'll be covering 1 John 3, 1 through 12 in this lesson. You can find the lesson that goes along with this podcast episode on the Moral Foundations website at moral-foundations.com. Once on the website, click on the Bible Studies link and choose the Book of 1 John, Lesson 5, to find the content that goes along with this episode. So let's go ahead and get started with putting these verses into plain language and see if we can make it easier to understand and to teach. Now, John begins this chapter with a declaration concerning the amazing fact of God bestowing his love upon the saints, so that they are no longer enemies of God, but are called sons of God. He mentions that those whom are not sons of God will not know or understand or believe the things that the saints believed and taught. John mentions the fact that a future event was coming whereby the saints of God will be changed from the image of corruptible man to the incorruptible God. He confesses that he himself is not yet aware of what man will become as a fully redeemed son of God, but he was sure that the saints would be like unto Christ. He says that the saints that have the hope in the resurrection of the saints will do something. He says they will purify themselves, or that they would continually confess their sins and grow in the power to overcome sin. John goes on to say that those that commit sin, or who do not actively purge and resist sin, transgress the law, meaning that they are still dead in their sins. He continues by saying that those that continue in unrepentant sins are not forgiven by Christ, because he came for the very specific purpose of forgiving and freeing man from sin, because in Christ there is no sin, and to be like Christ is to be free from sin. John then makes a statement that those that abide in Christ do not sin, meaning they do not live a life devoted to sin. Those that live in unrepentant sins have not seen Christ, nor do they know him. Christ does not know them, and they do not have eternal life. John then addresses his readers directly and states that he did not want anyone to deceive them. John says that those that live a life dedicated to God, which is righteousness, are righteous, just as Christ is righteous. John goes on to state that those that commit sin, or rather live in unrepentant sin, is not of God, but is of the devil, or is a child of the devil, because the devil is the one that has continued in unrepentant sins against God from the beginning. He goes on to explain why Christ was manifest, or why Christ came in the flesh in the first place. That was to destroy the works of the devil, which meant that Christ came to remove sin from his world and to bring everything back into harmony with God as it was in the beginning. John states that those that are born of God do not commit sin, or they do not live in unrepentant sin and rebellion to God, and the reason was because they were born of God. They were no longer enemies of God, but they were now sons of God. John states that this is how the children of God and the children of the devil are identified. Whoever does not live a life of consistent obedience to God and do not love their brother is not of God, but is a child of the devil. The characteristic that identifies a child of God is not their profession, but how they treat others. Cain is used as an example of what a child of the devil does to others. John explains how Cain killed Abel because the works of Cain were evil and the works of Abel were righteous. Now, this is the mark of the child of the devil. They wrongfully seek to destroy those that do good. Now we can kind of go over and cover some of the important doctrines that are covered here in these passages. Number one, the world does not understand those that are born of God. Number two, the children of God have faith that they will be given a new body and a new heart, all of which will live in perfect harmony with God. Number three, the one that has been born again purposefully, actively, and consistently work to overcome sin and to purge sin from their thoughts and deeds. Number four, the consistent lifestyle and actions of the person prove if they have been born again of God or not. Number five, there are only two types of people in the world, children of God and the children of the devil. And number six, the world, like Cain, cannot and will not live in harmony and peace with the children of God because their very existence convicts them of sin, and they therefore will seek to destroy the children of God, just as Cain killed Abel. Now that we've pointed out some of these important doctrines that are taught here, let's see if we can go over some of these and see if we can make application and how they're important. Number one, in 1 Peter 4, Peter says, "They think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." Because the true child of God is marked by a life of obedience to God rather than a life of autonomy, or man doing what he wants, when he wants. The world does not consider the Christian to be one of them, and this makes them very uncomfortable. Your students should understand that to be a true Christian is to be an outsider with the majority of the people in the world. The true Christian is born again, and he does not belong to the race of fallen men anymore. He is now a child of God, and the world simply does not understand why the Christian does not act like they act and do what they do. Your students should understand that to draw near to Christ means to draw away from the world. And this is something you should discuss more in-depthly as you get an opportunity to do so. The second thing here we should be going over is that John mentions those things that were taught by Christ about the resurrection and was also being taught by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul says, "The corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality, where death is swallowed up in victory." John alludes to this teaching that when Christ comes, so too comes the resurrection from the dead, whereby those that are alive will be changed, and those that are dead will be raised again and given new bodies as well. The two descriptions are given is that the new bodies will be incorruptible, or free from sin and rebellion, and they will be immortal, or they will not age and die. Now, John is stating this as something that the believer is to understand and to believe, even though the full understanding of this is not quite yet known, which John mentions here. It is a truth that the Christian is to be taught, but not something he is to understand completely at the moment, but is something that will be understood when Christ returns, which of course is kind of what John was talking about and what Paul was discussing as well. The third and fourth points here kind of go together because we've already gone over quite a bit in our study with 1 John of how the most fundamental indicator that a person is a true child of God and has been born again is that they grow in the power to overcome the temptation to sin, and they do not live in a state of unrepentant sin towards God. This is just something that you should continue to discuss again and again. As we see here, this is what John is doing. If the disciples stressed a point repeatedly, we can be sure that it's something we should also stress ourselves. So when you get time, continue to do this as the Bible teacher. Stress this point here, that the indicators of a person is they do not live in unrepentant sin, but they grow in the power to overcome and resist sin and temptation. The fifth thing to cover here is that there are only two types of people in the world, the children of God and the children of Satan. Now, I remember sitting down with somebody many years ago and going over this passage of scripture with them. To say that it shocked them was kind of an understatement. The person I was witnessing to had the idea that they could kind of be neutral, or a person that did not believe in the whole God thing, and therefore there's some kind of a bystander where God was concerned in the whole religion thing. John here makes it very clear that that is not the case. There are only two families that mankind can belong to. Either they belong to the family of Satan, or they belong to the family of God. Because Christ in John 8 confronts men with this fact when he says, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." It is important that you discuss this with your students because they cannot view anyone in the world as a neutral bystander. All people fit into one of the two groups or families, and they should not only understand this, but they should evaluate the relationships that they have with other people and see who is it that they like to associate with, and who they desire to be around. Not only does what we do reveal who we are, but also who we desire to be around also reveals this. Because in Amos 2, we will also read, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" This means that your students should evaluate who they spend their time with and who they desire to spend their time with, because that will reveal much about which family or group they also belong to, just as their deeds do. The sixth thing to discuss here is, in John 15, Christ says, "If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." It is imperative that your students understand that if they profess to be Christians, and they live lives in obedience to God, that those of the world will consider them their enemies, not because of anything they have done wrong, but because of the good that they do. When the Christian obeys God, and the unbeliever does things in disobedience to God, it reveals that they are not children of God, and this is something that they despise. It reveals who they are. Your students should understand that though they do good to men and obey God, They will be hated by those of the world, and those will seek to destroy them, just as Cain destroyed Abel. This usually transpires by those of the world trying to get the Christian to do the same things that they're doing. This is particularly true of teens and young adults and adults as well. Your students should be warned that if they are not careful, they will be convinced to give in to their temptations of the world and to rebel against God. Your students should understand that being attacked by the world is not always a physical attack, such as the situation with Cain, but most often it's going to be a moral attack where the world attempts to turn the Christian against God. Now, you should discuss this more in depth as needed, but it should be discussed in depth and discussed regularly with those that you teach. This is something that's very important to learn. Now, more questions and answers can be found on the Moral Foundations website at moral-foundations.com. And this will be a wrap for Lesson 5 of our study of the Book of 1 John entitled The New Body, The Two Families, and War with the World.